FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 1:30:19. Just one more day left to go to the month. Where did it go? I don't know. Do these months go by as fast for you as they do for me? Time, you know, I heard a great saying recently, the days drag on, but the years fly by. And I guess before you know it, it'll be 2020. And then we can really take a look back because all of our hindsight's 2020, as the saying goes. Bad joke, I know. Hey, as always, if you hear something here that really resonates with you, that you feel makes a difference, and that you want to share, just email me at kl@kerrylutz.com. So speaking of wisdom, speaking of leading a better life, in my opinion, you can't read enough of these books, especially when they deal with the wisdom of the ancients. And there's a book out in the process of getting a copy of it now, read some synopses of it. I think it's a really important book. It's called The Secret Life, A Book of Wisdom from the Great Teacher. It's by an attorney, don't hold that against him, by the name of Jeffrey Katz. Jeffrey, you are from New York, and you've embarked on this amazing project. Tell us, how has this changed your life?
It's really been transformative for me, Kerry. I've been studying the principles of Maimonides, and they've been so inspirational for me, and they've really just been the basis on which I've been able to lead, thank goodness, a fulfilling life. And I wanted to share some of these principles with people, and they really are so applicable, even though, like you said, they are ancient wisdom. Maimonides lived about 800 years ago. He was a philosopher, religious thinker, doctor. He was the court physician to the sultan in Egypt. He was an astronomer. I mean, he was really an incredible, one of the greatest minds of the past 1,000 years, really a Renaissance man, century. Matter of fact, he's the only person after Bible times that is celebrated and revered by all three of the major Western religions of Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. So there you go. You know, when those three can get together on something, you can probably get something extremely special there, which we do here.
Yeah, and we could probably use our modern-day Maimonides now, because the three religions don't see eye to eye often on a lot. So his teachings as a teacher and the path to wisdom. Briefly tell us what you took from his life.
Yeah, you know, one of the main problems we're facing in society today, and it's accelerating, is the information overload. Themselves just bombarded all day on every screen they seem to face with information, and their lives, our lives, become often just a matter largely of just reacting and managing all of this information that we're bombarded with. And most of it is just trivial stuff. So it winds up we're just reacting all day to this bombardment of triviality. And it's no wonder that that is, you know, not a recipe for a meaningful, fulfilling life. Maimonides urged us to lead a secret life. You know, often when, you know, usually when you hear something like a secret life, it conjures up, you know, ideas of something, you know, maybe really tawdry or, you know, even maybe something illegal. But not all secret lives have a dark side. Maimonides urged us to lead a secret life of goodness. It's a life where we strive to get back in touch and act on our most noble selves, the noblest sides of our personalities, where we strive to deepen our commitment to justice, and where we try to spend some of our time and energy every day relating to a higher calling. Through Maimonides techniques, we can actually get beyond our daily routines and the daily grind. He can show us, and he does show us, how to focus and find our own individual perfection, our ultimate purpose and game-changing goal in life. And that truly is transformative in life. In other words, we can get away from just managing and reacting to the bombardment of triviality and get back to something which really makes a difference for us.
So finding this life's purpose, there's been so many books written about it, so many things, and I've read some of them, and I just find them to be impractical and just not in tune with the real world. What would Maimonides tell you, Jeffrey, how to find your life's purpose?
Yeah, you see, I think one of the key differences between Maimonides' prescription, if you will, he was a doctor after all, and others, it's not just, you know, do what you're passionate about, do what you're passionate about. This is a little bit different from that. It really is very different from that. This is about that part of your life, and there are other aspects to Maimonides' teaching as well, relating to the areas of justice and unconditional love and charity, but focusing on the higher calling aspect for a moment. It really is getting in touch with something that's the kind of thing you will want to be known for. It is the kind of thing that you'll want to leave as a legacy for your children and grandchildren, and which you'll want to make the basis of some of your most meaningful relationships. When you're forming the bonds of unconditional love with your children and with your grandchildren, this can be one of the elements of it. Something that your children and grandchildren will see has been important and meaningful and inspiring to you. How do you get there? A lot of the techniques involve methods of focusing, where you learn techniques to remove all of the barriers and veils and separations that are keeping you from your focus. And it's a matter, there are different ways one can get there. It may be some people recalling what they wanted to do when they were a little younger, relearning from the pure and unencumbered enthusiasm of when we were a little younger. It may be reconnecting, with what most inspires us, because, you know, once we remember what's most inspiring and most meaningful to us, we then discover how to inspire others. And when we spend the time and energy using these techniques and exploring our own hearts, we will find our greatest and most inspiring goals. And that really can be a touchstone for a transformed life.
So really, none of this pop culture stuff. You think that Maimonides is still really relevant? Obviously you do. You wrote a book.
Oh, completely. It's not only is it relevant, it's life transforming, because the benefits of it, once you adopt these techniques, the benefits are just the benefits are just incredible, because once you are spending time that's meaningful on a truly meaningful accomplishment that you're working on, first of all, it makes you less likely to sweat the small stuff in your life or worry about, you know, the millions of little negative things that tend to take up a lot of our day. And then when we're less worried and less stressed, we tend to think more clearly, which lets us, come up with much better coping mechanisms and solutions for our everyday little problems and binds we find ourselves in. Also, the dedication to a higher calling leads to other terrific things. It leads to new friendships, and it deepens existing relationships, because, you know, Carrie, working alongside like-minded people on important common goals is one of the best ways to create meaningful relationships that can last a lifetime. And the new relationships will also be much easier to form than you can imagine, because, you know, when you're feeling fulfilled doing the work of your heart, one gives off an energy of confidence and satisfaction that's highly attractive to others. You become more interesting than you already are. I mean, you know, if that's even possible, but you know, it really is true that when you're doing your heart's work and you're devoted to something meaningful and inspiring to you, you actually wind up pulling others toward you like a magnet. And it's really a basis for transforming just the bombardment of triviality into something really meaningful that is then a touching off point and a platform for many other things in your life that give it really a higher meaning.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. In Maimonides' days, you lived in a neighborhood and you knew everybody around you. Nowadays, and I know for myself, it's true. It's probably true for you too, Jeff. You live in a neighborhood, and if you know your next door neighbors, you're doing pretty good. But to really know people in the neighborhood, it's unusual. I mean, I lived in Westchester County for many years in a neighborhood. All our kids knew each other in school together. That was really exceptional now that I look back, because nowadays you just don't know your neighbors.
Right. You know, it's interesting because many people today even feel an urge to post, and it's partly because of what you're describing. People, on the other hand, they don't know their neighbors, and yet they're also feel compelled often to post every move they make online. And that also winds up something which obviously that's a little more modern than the kind of things Maimonides knew about. But the basic principles are right there, and they're exactly applicable, because Maimonides urged people to keep a lot of the good things they do as secret. You would not be publishing online updates of every milestone you achieve, because, Kerry, when you keep good things you do a secret, private, in other words, it wells up inside you and nourishes our souls from the inside out. You know, eventually the good things we do are going to become known. I mean, George Michael, for example, he, you know, gave a tremendous charitable donations on a completely anonymous basis. But, you know, eventually it all comes out. But the real trick becomes is one doing the good things, the secret life, is one doing the good things in order to develop the personal growth, the personal development, the tremendous personal development that comes with it? Or is he doing it, you know, to elicit likes on Facebook and to impress other people? You really can't be doing both simultaneously. You're doing it for one purpose or the other. So the tremendous personal growth and really secret benefits of all this stuff really come when you allow the development to be kind of internal, and when you keep it private. And that's one of the great gifts and blessings of the secret life.
Yeah. So the concept of like donating a bunch of money to a hospital or university and getting your name on the building was kind of alien to Maimonides, and is alien to really Jewish teachings, where at the temple each year you'd go into a room and you would figure out how much money you were going to donate to the temple without any pressure or request from anyone else. And then you put the money in and it was totally anonymous. So that concept of anonymous charity, we don't see that very often in modern American life, or any life for that matter, any country.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Maimonides had a very, I discussed this in the book as well, his well-known 8 levels of charity. The highest level is helping someone find a job, basically, so he gets off charity roles in the first instance. But the rest of the levels are mainly involved with the anonymity, the level of anonymity, both of the recipient and of the donor. Now, from the recipient side, you know, one benefit of that is that the recipient won't be embarrassed. He won't, you know, necessarily be known as someone that's taking charity. And that is what it is. But from the donor side, really the benefit is that the personal growth, like you said, it's not slowed down by things like ego or honor or, you know, things like that. You know, Maimonides strongly urged people to make charity an important part of their lives, because he understood that people are actually happiest and themselves become most productive when helping others becomes part of their routine. And when they understand that and they see how much others are helped by their own charity And, you know, modern scientific studies actually bear this out. I mean, there was a wonderful study done in a book, Who Really Cares, a couple of years ago by Brooks, a Harvard economist, that showed that for every, you know, $1 someone gives in charity, he actually winds up making about another $4.35 extra, about over $3.50 of which is directly attributable to the charity. So, and another insight Maimonides had related to charity and related to things generally is that it's much easier to change an action than it is to change an attitude. And that's also a big secret or a big trick, according to Maimonides, of personality growth. You know, you may feel a certain way and it's really hard to get over those feelings. But you can, even if you feel a certain way, you can force yourself to take certain actions. Usually you can force your actions. And if you do certain actions enough times, slowly the attitude will develop. So, you know, just sticking with the example of charity, if one finds himself, he wants to become a, more of a charitable person, but he really finds that he doesn't, you know, he doesn't really feel it, if you will, he can force himself to give, you know, $1 to a good cause. And Maimonides would say that giving $1 to a good cause 1,000 times will have a much greater effect on the personality than giving a $1,000 gift once. Because once you habituate yourself to taking certain actions, slowly the change in attitude and the change in the character trait will often kind of get towed along behind it. And that really is also a great secret of development. And, you know, one of the things, I mean, the benefits that one accrues, you know, it's interesting because if you think about charity, it's about giving, right? That's what charity means. Charity means to give. Yet, Maimonides pointed to the startling benefits one gets by making charitable giving a part of his life. First of all, you know, again, you just become happier when you make charity, you know, part of what you do on a regular basis. And then when you're happy, it's just the nature of life. When you're happier, you go out into the world and you do more good things. So it creates this great cycle of positivity that is a great secret benefit of charity. It also helps develop empathy. You know, when you're involved in helping others, it helps you understand that you can put yourself in the shoes of the other person. You know, besides feeling blessed that you don't have those same needs, you also develop a sense of understanding the other person. And that empathy is like the most important element in any relationship. It will then translate into all of your other relationships. So Maimonides points out how the empathy will deepen and strengthen your other relationships. And, you know, besides everything else, you talk about like financial survival, thinking like a philanthropist can often, you know, increase one's bankroll as well, because once someone is used to, once someone develops a healthy emotional detachment from money and gets used to being charitable on a regular basis, when a good business opportunity comes along, you're going to be much less intimidated by it and more likely to take advantage of it. You know, just like someone might dress for success when he has a job interview, to maximize his chances. Same thing, thinking like a philanthropist can, you know, sometimes lead to increased wealth. So there are a lot of advantages.
Yeah, I can see that definitely. And so you've been doing this for a while and kind of espousing Maimonides' teachings. Have you seen people you've contacted with, connected with, actually change as a result of it?
You know, I have. And I've been, you know, teaching for many years and just like even on a personal level, been in touch with many people. And it really has. I mean, these principles are really life changing and transformational. Because, again, I mean, one can understand why, because when somebody follows these techniques, again, instead of just like unreflectively and just unconsciously, you know, dealing with everything one is bombarded with, you know, people think they're ahead of the curve if they're just handling all their emails and kind of responding to everything. But of course, life is so much more than that. And being able to say, wow, I've identified something really important and I'm working on it and I'm making developments in this and it's inspiring to me and I'm working with my kids and grandkids on this. And this is something that I formed other relationships based on. And, you know, it really does lead to just raising the tone of our lives. And it's really worthwhile, and people really get a lot out of it.
Yeah, and that's got to be a good feeling. So you think there's room for another book here, furthering on the theme?
Let's talk to my publisher about that. But there's a lot there. There's an awful, you know, one of the challenges in writing this book is obviously to think about what principles of Maimonides do you want to focus on. Now, it's interesting, Kerry, because up to now, up to my book, to learn about Maimonides, you really had to go to a university or some academy where they delve into these 1,000-page tomes and, you know, try to do this. I've been studying Maimonides so long, and I felt that so many of his teachings were so basic to life and so inspirational that someone just had to put down the basic ideas in a book for everyone's benefit so that everyone can be touched. And that's what I pray I've been able to do here.
Well, it's definitely a worthy goal, and we really appreciate your coming on. Is there a website we can look at here that you have, Jeff, besides?
Yeah. The Barnes & Noble website, the BNN website, and Amazon, there's a lot of information about the book on those websites.
All right. So then we should say the name of the book again, and really need to go out and get this. I think the book is great, and I can't wait to get it. The Secret Life, a book of wisdom from the great teacher by Jeffrey Katz. Hey, just came out not too long ago.
Just a week ago. Yep.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad we're getting up front on it. Really appreciate you coming on, Jeff. Wish you the best of luck on the book and all the success that'll come with it. Hey, questions, comments, if you want to find out more about it and find out more about Jeff and how to put the teachings of Maimonides to use, just email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. The Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. If you are listening on YouTube or the regular podcast channel, then we urge you to please subscribe, like, and share. Usually means hitting a red button someplace and hit the notifications. It really helps us when you do that. Helps get the word out about the show. A lot of valuable things take place on the show. Really appreciate you coming on, Jeff. Good luck on the book. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.